again. I'm Drew Wilder. It's all about business. Business talk, straight talk, every Saturday and Sunday at this time on the Talk of Connecticut. We talk with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors. Stan is president of Steeplechase Advisors in Hartford. And our show basically explores solving business issues for companies. And he's been doing that since 1976 with Steeplechase Advisors. And whether you're a business owner or whether you're a consumer, which I assume you are, at least one of the above, it all affects you in the end. So that's what we talk about. Stan Steeplechase Advisors is independently owned and operated, advising companies from all kinds of problems with taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. And welcome again, Stan. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Drew.
Now, we're going to talk about a really important topic that we kind of delved into but never really gotten more in depth on it, and that is training, of which I mentioned training to someone the other day and said, what's that? Maybe that's the point. Are companies doing the training that they need to do?
They think they are, but they're not. There is absolutely no training out there. For example, you can take a bank, they hire new people, and then the people go out to do training. And what is that? What are they learning to do? Well, if you talk to the other people that work at the bank, they're not sure what that training is, because once they come into the branch, they've got to show them how to do everything. And I'm not singling out any particular bank. They're all the same. Mm-hmm. But that works the same with business. And it is worsened by the fact that we live in this hybrid society. So when you hire a new person and they work part-time or full-time from home, how do you get that interaction to train them? By Zoom? Well, right. I mean, Zoom is okay, but it's not like the direct contact. You know, we talked earlier. You'd mentioned to me that somebody you know had texted me. And I said, gee, I don't know. I'll go look. I'm not a texter. If you want to, you know, best way is email or call me. So I go through my phone to check the text. I couldn't find anything. So maybe it came through, maybe it didn't. But I know I get suspicious when I will call somebody and I have to call them 2, 3, 4 times. So, you know, what is going on? Because the number one concern that any business has is customer service.
Right.
I don't
right.
care what world you're in, and that's important. So just training the receptionist, for example, to take a correct message or how to maybe put into your voicemail when you might get back to somebody. And really, I want to go on air that my pet peeve, my number one pet peeve, I will tell you, Drew, and that is when I hear somebody answer the phone and take a message on behalf of another individual. So if somebody called here and asked to speak to Drew and Drew's not available, that person then say, oh, I'll have him call you right back as soon as he comes in.
Right.
Do not volunteer Drew Wilder call back anybody.
Right.
He doesn't know who it is. It could be a salesperson from AT&T.
Right.
But never volunteer somebody else to do something. You should say, I will pass the message along to Mr. Wilder, and he can respond.
Right. You don't give the number of the person. Well, let me give you Drew's number.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that you should not do. That's a no-no. But who's doing the training? I mean, who should be doing the training? Someone that's doing the job, or the head honcho, the woman, man, whoever's running the show at the company?
Well, obviously the head honcho should be giving the directions, but that person probably doesn't know how to do all of the chores within the company. So he or she needs to know how to identify the right people to oversee that person. So, for example, when you do hire a new person, whether or not they're experienced, you should really put together a 4 to 6 week training program that you can use as a guide to recommend to them what they need to do on a daily basis, and for the staff to make their arrangements to work with that person. Mm-hmm. Because that's when the communication really starts, is in the beginning with the communication. And that's the biggest problem in today's world. Communication, communication.
Right. Exactly.
Every business, including my business, mm-hmm. has the same problem. Yep. People don't communicate.
No, exactly. I had that three times yesterday with one person. Right. You don't get things that you're supposed to get. Then you got to remember that you are supposed to get it. Otherwise, something goes wrong in our business and radio. It goes wrong on the air or doesn't go on the air when it should go on the air. But, I mean, you brought up a great point about people working remotely. How can you possibly train someone when you're not there with the person?
Well, your alternatives are simply for them to self-study or self-train or to do Zoom meetings. But the reality is you're just wasting your time and money. You got to get them into training classes one-on-one because you really – what I've learned today, we used to talk about a new employee needs about 90 days to be on probation, mm-hmm. to observe. I've changed that. In my mind, it's now 6 months.
Wow, that's a long time.
You really don't know how that person operates. And if you really want to be fair in your evaluation of that person – you have to go into that training program as if that person is not going to succeed, then it's my fault,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that I didn't train them properly.
Right.
So if you keep that open mind and say, okay, this person, and where do I put them in the batting lineup on the baseball team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where
mm-hmm.
are they best at hitting? Where are they best at fielding? Sometimes you do get someone that you just know immediately it's not going to work out.
Right.
And it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. I know of an accounting firm that they just hired a new fellow who really came in mid-30s, a real hot shot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring mm-hmm. in so much business, you guys won't be able to handle it. So they went out on the limb and hired the guy because mm-hmm. they thought he came from a good firm, mm-hmm. had all this knowledge. But since he's come to work there, he just sits in his office all day with the door closed and hasn't brought in any business. So they're sitting there looking at each other after paying this huge finder's fee to a headhunter and saying, what's going on?
So they don't headhunters don't get paid after the person's been there for X amount of time?
No, they usually get paid within 10 days, and they have a guarantee that is on a sliding scale. But in today's world, unfortunately, you really need to work with the placement personnel.
Right.
It's just so hard finding people. You know, I'm all the time on ZipRecruiter mm-hmm. and Indeed, and it really annoys me to see people send in resumes who have no clue what they're sending the resumes in for.
So are they just doing it for unemployment?
I don't know what they're doing. I can't figure it out. You know, somebody who, you know, for example, I'll just use an example being in the accounting field. Mm-hmm. So I will advertise for a staff accountant mm-hmm. with 2 years experience, da-da-da-da-da. And then I get resumes from somebody who works at a particular coffee shop for 3 years and never been taken an accounting course in their life. Why are you wasting my money by applying for this job?
I would think that that's with unemployment, from what I've heard, is as long as you show that you're looking for a job and that you've applied to places, probably doesn't matter which places.
So we call that ghosting.
Is that what that's called? That's ghosting.
You know, the name these days that they give to scheduling appointments and never showing
right,
up.
Right, that's ghosting, exactly.
Right.
So, big companies, medium, large companies, I mean, I would think big companies have more of the resources and time and number of people to be able to train people. But small companies, we've talked so much about on the show about the lack of time people have to spend to come up with a training program and to devote the resources with the people to be able to train someone. I would think that they're different worlds in the training of a small company versus big company training someone.
Absolutely. But, you know, it depends in the particular industry that you're at. I mean, we're in an evolving society right now. And as we've talked in the past with the Wild West of the Internet.
Yeah.
And we look at what's going through with Twitter. I mean, my gosh, take a look. When Elon Musk bought the company, the average salary of somebody in their mid-20s was $293,000.
Wow.
Now it was, is $293,000.
That's amazing.
They work part-time. Hmm. And the company spends $13 million a year on lunches for its employees.
Right.
So obviously, there's a lot of fat to be cut. Yeah. But you now take a look at small business. I mean, there's no way they're even going to pay those kinds of salaries. Right. So it's a challenge. You know, people do come in out looking for a job, and they do want a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
For a small business, it's very, very hard.
Right.
So
right.
That's why we have voicemail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the careers of people having a receptionist,
mm-hmm.
having a typist, mm-hmm. they're gone. Those are the secretaries, it's gone.
Yeah, those days are past us.
I mean, I still have one. I still do dictation, but my God, that really shows my gray hair,
right.
or lack thereof.
Yeah. You know, they have computer programs that'll do a lot of this stuff for you.
Right.
It's unbelievable. But
and it's going to continue to get, I mean, it's going to continue to get worse as time progresses. You know, with this transition, we see what's going on with social media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of what we do. Excuse me. When we talked about
yeah, we're talking to Stan Sadlak again. Steeplechase Advisors, it's your business, which is on right here on the Talk of Connecticut every Saturday and Sunday at this time. We'll tell you at the end of the show, by the way, how you can get a no-fee initial consultation with Stan. Stan Sadlak, Steeplechase Advisors, talking about training.
Well, you know, it's just a challenge. When you take a look at these small businesses and what they can pay and what they can do, and for example, if somebody comes out and is a mechanic, they're going to be in school for the rest of their life, because it used to be when you were a mechanic, you would come to work and work on a car.
Right.
Today, they change every year. They become more computerized. So you're constantly having to go to school to learn how to service that particular car.
Right. Right. Well, you look at like plumbers, electricians, apprenticeships. I forget what it is, but I think it's like 2 years that they don't get paid, and they hang around with the person to learn the ropes and to be trained on the job. I mean, how many people can afford to do that, especially in a tighter, tough economy like we're in right now, and especially with people having so many options with jobs?
You know, you bring up an interesting point, Drew, and, you know, I was thinking about it driving this morning. And I'm saying, you know, I don't understand when I drive by these car dealerships why they have no cars, or they have all used cars, because the COVID's done.
Yeah.
I mean, right. 80 to 90% of all the computer chips in the world are made in Taiwan.
Right.
So what?
Yeah, that's a disaster. Waiting. Well, it is happening, but waiting to get worse. The fact that it's all from Taiwan.
But it can't get worse, because they're back up to production.
Mm-hmm.
If people say, well, China's going to take over Taiwan, well, they'll never take them over, because what would happen to the chip industry?
Right.
The whole world would come to a standstill.
Right. Right.
So if you take a look at the chips, well, they're producing the chips. They're producing the cars. Well, where are the cars? Are they sitting in containers off the coast of California? Is the supply chain so screwed up that Transportation Secretary Buttigieg can't get involved? Right. I don't understand what's going on here. Why this supply chain is so out of whack?
Yeah, I've wondered that too. There's a dealership in Manchester that we drive by like once every week or two, and they used to have every space had a car in it. Now it's like a third of the spaces, if that, maybe 25% of the spaces, have cars. So I don't know if that's the chip problem and why that chip problem exists, as you're saying. And but COVID is past us, but politically it's not past us, because it's the best. I keep saying it's the best excuse in the history of my life of people getting away with stuff, like remote working being one of them that we just discussed. But politically, I mean, getting more money spent that we don't have, the government doesn't have. It's all COVID, COVID, COVID. I mean, I don't know how long that's going to be with us, that excuse.
Well, you now have transitioned to a little political issue, and that is, with COVID. I mean, really, what is the story behind COVID? I mean, really, what's going on here? Because this has created an impact worldwide. And you take a look in China, Europe, and the advent of censorship. It's sort of, you know, we're in a world today that's censorship is tolerance. Mm-hmm. And when in fact, it's really reverted us back to a very puritanical society. People are afraid to say things because of the social impact that it may have. Right. And really, what we really need in this country, in this world, is to speak. We need freedom of speech to talk to each other.
Right. Well, that's the First Amendment, not the 20th Amendment.
But it's being overtaken by a perception of tolerance, which is censorship. Yeah. You can't say certain things.
Right, if you don't agree with it, right.
And I don't know where we're going to go through this period, but if you take a look, it doesn't matter where. It could be your education system in, like, Loudoun County.
And
today, for small business, you just can't ask a lot of questions. When you're interviewing somebody, you need to be very good. You can't go down a lot of different paths.
Right.
You're going to get yourself in big trouble.
Right. Well, everyone is very sensitive. We'll talk. Our next show is going to be about how to run a business and how to work as a customer when everyone is just so much more sensitive than they used to be. But, I guess that does affect training, too, because if everyone is paranoid about COVID and you're hearing about censorship and things like that, and you're training, I would think you're just distraught. It's hard to keep focused when there's so much coming at you in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I frequently will have people do is ask me, could you just take a look at what's going on? I've got a great situation years ago with a restaurant. So this was a very successful restaurant. And when they were really busy, they would crank out the food, and it was great because they had somebody there calling out the food for the kitchen to make. But when it was slow and they would cook the food, many times it would come out wrong. But it always tasted good, but it really wasn't what the people ordered. A lot of things were being sent back. And the owner couldn't understand what was going on here. It seemed very strange. When they're busy, they could crank it out, but they weren't. So to make a long story short, I'm sitting there and I'm observing now they don't have anybody calling out the orders. So they had the main cook there, and he's reading the orders off the screen and then cooking. And I'm observing him, and I'm saying, you know, he's really squinting at the screen. There's an issue. I'm looking at him, and I'm saying to myself, oh, that's interesting. So I write something down, and I go back there. Hey, I said, could you make this for me? And I see him, you know, take it. Oh, sure, sure. And he's holding it up like 2 inches in front of his face.
He couldn't
read it. He didn't know that I saw him doing that. So make a long story short again, he needed glasses. He had a real vision problem, and he just never realized it. So the owner brought him to an optometrist and got him checked out and got him glasses.
Wow, that was nice.
And the problem was resolved.
That was simple. It'd be nice if every problem with people being trained or doing the job efficiently could be that easy.
But that's part of the training process. Yeah. It's not always people say, well, I'm going to hire this person to do this particular job, and that may not be the right job for them. Right. So you, as the person overseeing the training, needs to evaluate both the trainee and the trainer.
And you should explain that in the interview, that there's going to be a training program or a lack of a training program, but that should be part of the interviewing process?
I really think there needs to be a discussion about that, and the person doing the interviewing needs to think through what he's going to promise or suggest, because people will frequently come back and say, well, you promised me all this training, and you didn't do it.
Right, or the opposite,
right.
Someone that doesn't want all the training.
Oh, that's the best one, when people come back and say, oh, training was no good.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't do well here.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so much coming at people that I wonder, like, how many, what percentage of companies probably more with small and medium companies, just don't do training the right way or don't do any training.
I would say that's mostly the situation. I mean, we talked earlier about the trades, and a lot of that training is by osmosis,
yeah,
whereby they just follow the person around, they shadow them and learn the different...
Which is probably the best training, I would... Well, it depends on the industry. In this industry, in broadcasting, I would think... I mean, I know on-the-job training is you can't sit in front of a textbook and learn things. You can learn principles, but I would think just a lot of jobs and professions, you've got to be out there seeing it. So... That means hanging around with someone that the company respects enough to be able to train the person to show them in the job what's going on. And you got to make sure that person's really the right person.
One of the big issues that I find, which employers don't seem to really understand unless they've been around a long time, is the resume. Frequently, somebody will submit a resume and they'll show 5 different jobs in 1 year.
Yeah.
Where they jump around quite a bit. So when you look at the resume, you have to try to figure out what's going on here. Why are they jumping all around? And when they give references, you know, they're always, you know, going to be
dummied up, and people don't want to give a bad reference. Maybe they'll get sued or. But would you hire anyone that has had even 3 jobs in a year?
Well, you know, very good question, because frequently I will find that it's legitimate because they're working for a temporary employment agency.
Okay.
With COVID, a lot of the companies went to temporary agencies versus hiring a full-time person. So they needed work. So they may have worked for, you know, XYZ company for a 90-day period or a 160-day period, then switched, you know, to another company.
But training, I mean, that makes sense. I would think it's like a domino effect, because if you have the person that's not being the employee that wasn't trained properly, and they're the ones that are going to be training the person coming in, you know, garbage in, garbage out, from one person who doesn't really fully know what's going on to show someone else, they're going to show the other person the wrong way.
Gee, Drew, you're full of good ideas today.
Yeah. Well, how do you resolve that one?
Well, you know,
get better people.
Well, you know, it's also good for the owner, because they are able to see how the training is done, and maybe they've got a real keeper here, and that keeper is showing him that or her that the trainer really isn't very good at what they do.
True, as long as the owner knows what's going on. That's another story, right?
You know, that is it is so important that you've got to get the decision maker involved.
Right.
If you work for a company and you're assigned a task, you've got to keep the decision maker involved.
Right.
And that becomes a big issue. So you need to let the decision maker know how the training is going. Or not going.
Interesting. But in a market the way we've had it for a while now, where jobs are plentiful, I would think the person interviewing, if you really care about doing a good job, you would be interviewing the company too. That you'd want to make sure you're working for someone who you respect, who's doing it the way you think it should be done. Although the way you think it should be done may not be the way it should be done.
You know, I think that many of the interviewees today are really getting a grip on that. Mm. I find that when they come into an interview, they've really researched the company, primarily on the internet, of course.
Right.
But they've taken the opportunity to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they haven't, that should tell you something else. If they come into an interview and really don't know who you are or what you do,
exactly,
they're not the people for here.
Yeah, there's so much information online. I mean, you can find out almost anything. I mean, I was telling you before the show, someone's running for a high office. It was just announced. I have his home address. Not that I'm going to do anything with the home address, but I got his phone number. I got his home phone number. I got a cell number. So, and I did that in about 5 minutes. So it's all out there.
I really think the access to information is really got to be harnessed in the near future. I think the internet is a Wild West show. You know, the advertising that takes place on the internet.
Yeah.
When we were talking about marketing earlier, we really never got into advertising on the internet,
right,
which is a whole new area.
Right, exactly.
But the misinformation is through censorship and other areas is just so out of control that I believe it's ultimately going to become regulated like a utility.
Yeah.
And maybe...
Probably will be. Radio is regulated. TV's regulated. Federal Communications Commission. Newspapers are regulated. I would think internet would be too.
Because I mean, I've seen people's lives, reputations ruined by lies on the internet. And to try to fix that is virtually impossible.
Oh, once it's out there, right, you can't undo it.
Right.
And if it's not true, that's even worse. You can really ruin someone's career, let alone their life.
Right.
By putting something on the internet that's not true. Any employer is going to look and they're going to see stuff that's not real. So again, talking with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors, I'm Drew Wilder, and it's your business every weekend at this time from 8:30 to 9. And Stan with Steeplechase Advisors has been helping business for 5 decades with all kinds of issues that affect businesses. The key things, taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems, as I say it that way. And how can someone get in touch with you to really get them in the right direction, help their business stand?
Well, Drew, we got a couple of different ways. One is just give me a call at 860-524-3408 or email me. It is Stan at stsworld.net. That is Stan at stsworld.net so that you can maybe elaborate more on what your thoughts are after listening to the show.
And is there a cost for someone to sit down with you and get your expertise and objective opinion as you've been doing for 50 years?
No, absolutely not. I mean, we'll have a meeting to kind of wean out what you're looking for or what we're looking at. But just as to chat and see where we might fit in or on email, it's not a problem.
Sounds like a no-brainer. Give Stan a call. Gets a lot of calls on the weekend, of course, after the show. So if he doesn't get back to you today, he'll get back to you on Monday. 860-524-3408 or Stan at stsworld.net. Stan, thanks so much. It goes fast every week, and appreciate your time and great talking with you to help businesses in the Connecticut region.
Thanks, Drew.
And we'll talk to you next time. Drew Wilder, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
You better take care of business.